So we're going to continue what we started over the last couple of weeks. Michael, because well, I don't know if you saw the last week we'll be discussing if when Mashiach arrives, what potential blessings we're going to be making. First week we did was from Zalman's idea. That was about three or four different blessings potentially. Last week we did the Shechianu and about beautiful people, which was another blessing. And we got the five blessings already, or six we've been to, and now we're going to continue on. It just doesn't end. Hopefully, by the time we finish this class tonight, it'll be practical. The Mashiach will be here, and he'll tell us what to do. Okay, here it goes. First, now we're going to do another bracha. Again, a lot of these things are based on the fact that we're not sure what Mashiach is going to look like when it arrives. Like, obviously. So, we're just assuming, and that was some of our questions we asked. If Mashiach arrives, and Eliyahu Navi comes the day before, that will take some of the brachas away. Is there going to be a massive war? And these type of things. So, the next blessing we're going to discuss is what they bring down. That we have a medrash. We had a medrash we spoke about years ago. The medrash says that, very scary, that just as 4/5 of the Jews did not make it out of Egypt, we said that at the time that it's not, the medrash has three interpretations, three opinions. One says 4 to 5 did not make it. One says 49 out of 50 did not make it. And one says 499 out of 500 did not make it. Either way, Rashi quotes the famous one of 1/5. 1/5 made it out. 4/5 did not make it out. We also, it says in certain Midrashim, that's going to be in the future as well. When Mashiach arrives, possibility, based on maybe a war of Gog and Magog, maybe based on something else. But it's not a free fall that we say we want Mashiach now, because we want Mashiach now potentially might be 4 out of 5 don't make it, 49 out of 50 don't make it, 499 out of 500 don't make it. So that's just the metric which people bring down. It's a quoted thing. To be careful, to do tshuva, depends on how Mashiach comes. So they want to say that we have an halacha, we have a basic halacha, which is practical today, a practical blessing, that when someone's parent, and potentially when you're near someone, different halachas want to be, when someone passes away in the vicinity, but we'll go by a parent right now, make a blessing of Dayan Ha'emes, that God is the ultimate honest judge. Someone, if you remember, I'm younger, and you know, hopefully no one experienced it, but usually the Chevra Kedisha does what too. They tell you when to rip the shirt, they tell you these things. One of the things they tell you to do is to make a blessing, Dayan Ha'emes. So, some of the rabbis bring down that if we're going to say 4/5, even when at 4/5, if we're going to say the Mashiach comes, there's going to be, at that moment, some type of war. Even if not 4/5, then people are going to pass away. Then it's very, very possible that people are going to have to make the blessing, dynamis, of a truthful judge, which we say upon the passing of people. As if it's on bad news, you say dynamis. I know it's bad news. Dynamis is an honest judge in the world, he being the ultimate, he with the capital H. And that's what someone will bring down as a blessing to me. While I'm going to ask Eliezer a question, if you can find online, Psachim 58, around 11 or 12 in over there. Go.
He said when Mashiach comes, one of the things that, before 4 out of 5 won't make it, you mean when Mashiach comes?
Don't bang. Yes.
As soon as Mashiach comes, 4 out of 5 are going to die immediately?
Yes.
I don't know, immediately.
It might be right before. Because in Egypt, they died right before they got out.
All right. So let's say Mashiach.
Right? We know that. In the Makkas of Choshech, when it was dark out there, 4/5 of the people, the Jews, passed away during that Makkah. Yes.
So let's say Mashiach is going to come 5 minutes from now. So 4 out of 5 will die prior to that.
Possible.
That's what you're saying, right?
Possible. Yes. I don't know for sure.
That doesn't have to be from a war or anything. Just die.
Yes. But in Egypt, they did not die from a war. Correct. In Egypt, they passed away. It doesn't say how they passed away, actually. I think we once discussed how they passed away. Did we once discuss that? I don't remember that. It was asphyxiation. I'm not sure. There is a question. The Rashi says at the beginning of the Shalach, the Jews left Mitzrayim. Chamushim can either mean armed, or Rashi brings down, or they left 1/5. What's 1/5? 4/5 passed away right before the left in Makas Toshet. That might occur again, hopefully not. Depends on how Mashiach comes. There's different ways Mashiach can come, and it's right time. We can bring it early based on repentance, but there is one theory of concept that is a possibility right before Mashiach comes. There will be a mass death, which is why, among the many reasons we've discussed in the past, that during 1648, it's called Tachbatat, 1648, 1649, the Chamalinki pogroms. And as I said many times, that's during World War II. Many of the Jews alive at the time were convinced that the end of the war was going to be a messianic revelation. And the same thing with Tachbatat, one of the first classes on the website going back a long time ago, 408, I forgot what it is, we'll link to one of these things eventually, was about the idea during Tach Patat, they believed during the annihilation that was going on, Mashiach was about to come. So yes, there is a concept that Mashiach might come right after, I'm going to use the word Holocaust, but you are correct, might be a natural death. Now, if you have the link there, they want to question this. 50A. And it was about 11 or 12. If you have the link, I keep you have the link, but when I sent that, I forgot. Now, that says a fascinating thing. So what we've been doing all along the last couple of weeks is we've been saying the opinions of what brachas to make would we potentially make, hopefully, when Mashiach comes. And we've been saying as well some of the drawbacks, some of the possibilities why it's not necessarily going to happen.
Here goes a bracha. We just gave a good one, Dina Emes, why it might not happen. The Gemara there says that in the world we live in today, when someone hears bad news, he makes a bracha. Do you have that in front of you? And when someone makes good news, he makes a separate bracha. There it is in Psachim 50, 50A, in one of the things. Keeps you have it there, what number? And the Gemara says there, fascinatingly, okay, here it says, Rab Abba Bachanina said, the world to come is not like this world. In this world, upon good news, one side's a blessing, Hatoy Vameter, which we discussed a couple weeks ago. On bad news, we cite the thing, blessed is the true judge. I said an honest judge. But in the future, we have to know what these words mean now. Loilam Haba, what it says in the world to come, there's no such thing as good and bad news. There will only be one mode of blessings for news, because all news would be good news. So, depends again, something we discussed earlier. Is Mashiach called world to come? Is Mashiach called a different stage? We're not going into all those details. That's not for us. We're just going to potential brachas. If, when you say potential brachas for Mashiach will come, people will have passed away from a potential four-fifth, just like by Egypt, and you say the bracha dynamis, it's possible that Mashiach comes as such a thing as dynamis. There will be a clarity to the world and people understand why events occurred. So if that is included into that statement on 58, which is an open topic passage, question what world to come means, then you would never make the blessing dynamis in that futuristic society we live in. So even though some rabbis want to say dynamis, because someone, when the Mashiach comes, there'll be a large death rate, the survivors will be happy, but it could be it's not true. It could be that bracha dynamis will disappear when Mashiach comes. So that's another blessing we're not sure about as well. Similarly, as we know, when people survive a serious situation, nowadays not even serious. Someone goes on a plane, which we call serious. That's why we bench gomel. So a lot of the rabbis want to say, yeah, when someone is going to greet Mashiach, if, that there was prior to the Messianic revelation some type of Holocaust, which I'm putting in quotes because it could be in the form of a COVID, it could be a form of anything else. If there's going to be mass death, because only some people, some percentage of the population is worthy of greeting Mashiach, then it's very possible to say that the survivors are going to say Goimel. Makes a lot of sense. Now, and that would be, and I like that blessing. You'll say, the people will say Goimel on I don't know, I said English. They're counting their blessings on the fact that they survived a serious situation. I would venture a guess that many of the grand rabbis, I don't know if you see the books, who survived the Holocaust, bench tagoimel. There will be no reason not to. There are people who get sick, go through surgery. First thing to do is bench tagoimel, right? So there is that blessing is done nowadays when we go on a plane, because a plane is considered a serious situation. We spoke about in the past, even though nowadays it seems not, but we hold yes still nowadays. So tagoimel would be potentially a blessing. More so, I would say more fascinatingly so, in my humble opinion, it happens to be that there are some midrashim, again, these are things we're not going through all the details, that believe that whenever the resurrection happens, which might be tied into Mashiach, very possible, depends on which idea you go with, when the resurrection happens, many people will pass away for a few seconds and come back. Maybe, depends if you read some midrashim, everyone will pass away for 1 second and come back. Okay, sounds interesting, but I'll tell you what's more fascinating. There is a midrash, that's Talmudic level, that says, two midrashim, that Yitzchak, how do we learn the story of Yitzchak? I'm not sure we ever discussed this in this thing. Yitzchak was placed upon an altar to be a sacrifice in one of the great tests of Abraham's life. The Akedah, I don't recall it in English. The Akedah. And when you read through the story simply, very simply, and we read it every day, right before Abraham, Avram, was about to fulfill his mission, he got new report. No, the mission was complete. You were not supposed to ever kill him. Take him down. There are midrashim that Yitzchak did pass away on that altar. It's a Zohar. It's a lot of Kabbalistic stuff. We're not going to go into everything. Maybe we come around this year, we'll do it. And those parashas are. That's not what I want to focus on. I want to focus on that according to the midrashim that he passed away, Unbelievable. It says that when he got up, because he lived, had kids and everything, then when he got up, he made the blessing of Agoyim. That the person himself who wakes up says the blessing of Agoyim. That, by the way, some Midrashim don't say that he himself said Hagoyim. Some Midrashim say that the angels that were watching said Hagoyim. Either way you have, that when Yitzchak passed away, whatever that means, was revived, whatever that means, by the altar of the Akedah, the blessing of Hagoyim seems to have been cited, either by himself or by the angels themselves. So there would be another reason to say a bracha of Hagoyim when Mashiach comes, depending again on how the circumstances, how he appears, how he reveals himself to the whole world. Hagoyim, very seriously, might be on the table as another potential blessing. I don't see a negative side to this. I will say that nowadays, which we say, I think it's... Oh, who said that? Very good. Excellent. I will tell you that similarly, some say that the blessing that should be made is not Hagoyim, but Mechayim Esim. Mechayim Esim means, I was going to get to that in a few minutes, that the person was revived. That's what we say. But Hagoyim means, I bless you, I thank you for having me survive, I think it is. But Mechayim Esim is, I revived. So, we're segueing into now, Mechayim Esim, excellent. Now, by the way, I said Hagoyim, the Midrashim used the same thing on Mitzchak. There would be two reasons, potentially, to say Mechayim. Now, we said the first week was, a lot of these blessings are interspersed with each other. So, for example, we said you make a blessing if you don't see someone after 30 days. Shechianu. If you don't see someone after 12 months, you say Mechayim Esim. We spoke about it a couple weeks ago. So you see, sometimes the blessing can be interchanged. You're not going to use both blessings if you meet one person. So here also, the blessing of Agoyim and the blessing of Mechayim Esim are interchangeable here. Why it applies today nowadays, you have to ask, hopefully none of us will ever experience it, but he has to have somebody else, is we don't normally say Mechayim Esim. Agoyim, we say, we go to on a plane. Baruch Hashem, which is not scary. Come back from a vacation, say Hagoyim. Some...
Don't you have to go over water?
Yes. Some say that when someone goes through a serious surgery, but like a death-defying one, which I would say like heart surgery, heart replacement surgery, I don't know how it works if they put in a stent, if they knock you out at all, but there are absolutely surgeries that in Jewish law, when they're removing the actual heart and the person is separated, and then they're placing the artificial one in there, that many people would say that upon, again, revival, you're not going to be dressed properly and stuff like that, but at the moment a person can, potentially bracha Mechayim Esim. Now, the reason why a goymel is more used is because of what I just said. Because it seems like, again, these are all variations of the halachas, Mechayim Esim might be forced, applicable, only right away. Hagoymel, as you know, you get off the plane from a vacation, you're not first, second doing saying Hagoymel. You have time. Depends which rabbi you're going to ask how much time you have, but it's definitely not required immediately only, limited. It's not limited to right after the requirement of when it occurred. You have some time to do it. Mechayim Esim, again, depends on the rabbis, depends you're going to ask, might be more of a limited time. So I'm bringing up Hagoyim, but absolutely Mechayim Esim might be as well. So we've already discussed three more potential blessings. Dina Emes, we're not sure if that ever exists anymore. And Hagoyim Mechayim Esim, which again would mix in. If you're going to make the bracha Mechayim Esim, my humble opinion, you're probably not going to make the bracha of Hagoyim. Unless we're doing it for two reasons. Mechayim Esim because someone passed away and was revived. Goyim for surviving the war also. But I don't know if you could do that. Keeps going.
What about the children of Israel Paul Sinai when they left their souls left three times?
I have to look it up if it says it. I don't recall it saying, but it's a good question.
Seems like it.
Based on the Midrashim that Yitzchak said it, or the angel said it for Yitzchak, just so no one on camera heard, that during Har Sinai, there are Midrashim that say that the Jews at Har Sinai had passed away and had to be revived as well. It would not be far to say, based on those Midrashim by Yitzchak, same Midrashim here, you'd have to say it as well. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I like it, actually. Like it. Similarly, we're going to do two brachas that go together as well. It's possible, again, how you learn it, that when people become blessing, is there even a blessing like this? Roife Chaylum, God heals the sick. Again, we say this during benching, but we say it during davening. But there might be a bracha, bracha tashem lekenem echam roife chaylum. Normally, this bracha is not said nowadays. But it's possible, depends on the reasons. But let's say, I'm making up, let's say the reason you don't say roife chaylum nagadays is because even when a person is healed, he says agoyim bo, mechayim esim, there's still some element that exists. And roife chaylum will be permanent. If we believe like at Sinai, you brought that up, Bar Sinai, or we spoke about it a few months ago, all the blind They said everyone saw. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Everyone heard. We said Rashi brought down. Everyone meant literally everyone, which means every person was 100% healed from their ailments, blind, deaf, etc. All of these things. It's possible, again, when Mashiach comes, everyone will be healed. So it's possible, once again, of course, Hagoimel, it's going through a sickness, but as well, maybe there'll be a bracha of Reif Echaylam. But I want to do a similar bracha that I saw brought down. I want to give my own spin. Just like we said last week. Last week we said that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said to make a bracha of Shechiyanu, and we said, Rav Shlomo Zalman did not say why to say Shechiyanu. He said, you make a Shechiyanu. We, in last week's class, gave 5, 6, I forgot exactly, potential reasons to make the bracha Shechiyanu. He just said, say it. I'm about to quote you a bracha that Rav Chaim Kefsi says to make. He does not give a reason to make it. He just said, when they said, what do you say when Shechiyanu comes? He said this bracha. I'm going to give potential reasons that might be, and we'll discuss that bracha right now. So after the bracha again of Dain Emes, Hagoymo, Machayim Esim, Reif Echolim, it's a very interesting one. We say it every day. Every day in the morning, when you say the brachas of, God, I'm not a guy, thank you, I'm not a guy. I don't say thank you, but that's what it says. I'm not a guy, I'm not a slave. And then it says, Pekeach Ivrim. Reb Chaim Kes says that when Mashiach is going to come, the blessing to be Pekeach Ivrim means you open the eyes of the blind. That's what the word means. You open the eyes. And Reb Chaim Kes, he writes, that's a bracha you're going to make. He doesn't say why. I saw people who understood that it meant because people are going to be healed. That means people, now that doesn't mean everyone makes the bracha, even though it could be if someone else is healed, you're there, you can make the bracha. But if it's going on a healing bracha, then it might be covered, like we said, under Agoymel. It might be covered under Machaya Mason, potentially. So I figure we'll analyze the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim a second and figure out what we could do here. So the first thing I want to say is like this. The holy Noam Elimelech, the great Hasidic rabbis, the great rabbis, said that Pekeach Ivrim is not the way we understand it. We read every morning, as I understood it, we read every morning, Pekeach Ivrim means Hashem opens up the eyes of the blind, referencing ourselves. We were sleeping, eyes closed, not seeing. So one of the brachas you make in the morning is Pekeach Ivrim. The same way you're going to make a Zoykev Kefufrim, you're standing up straight. Mater Asurim, you're unwinding. Shasli Katsarki, you're putting on shoes. All of those blessings are for the individual. And if you're going to say, my assumption, that Reb Chaim Kefsi says, say the blessing of Pekeach Ivrim, would Reb Chaim Kefsi say all of those blessings? Maybe for some reason when people, Mashiach comes, they'll be able to have a stretch. I'm not sure why he said one, not the other. But I will tell you an anomaly in the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim. Again, I don't know if Reb Chaim Kefsi meant this. The Noam Elimelech, very Hasidic Sefer, not Reb Chaim knew everything, so he might have known that Sefer as well, says that Pekeach Ivrim is not, the first one we say, is not referring to the human being. Pekeach Ivrim is a request blessing of us saying Hashem open his eyes, capital H. And it's based on Psukim, that Hashem is the Einei of Yisrael. He's the eyes, we'll say eyes and ears, but if you remember, we do not make a bracha for hearing in the morning. We might have given a class on that before the Zooms began. It's odd. We make a bracha of opening your eyes, but not for your ears. We might have discussed that one year. But, so I'm paraphrasing. Hashem is the eyes and ears, but it says eyes many places. The Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the nation. Now, what we do say most of the time is that we don't get to see Hashem now. The word we use is Metzis, he's peeking out of the window to watch us. So what he says with Noam HaMelech, died in the late 1700s, what he says, Pekeach Ivrim is a request to God, don't be peeking and we can't see. When you're peeking, you're only, I don't want to say only half watching us, Hashem is always watching us, but you're only like, what's the correct word? You're minimally appearing to us behind the crack in the window, by the window shade. Pekeach Ivrim, we want to, please look at us full, open the window shade, steer at us completely. We can see you. That's not what the blessing's about. The blessing's about Hashem seeing us. Now, if Reb Chaim Kefsi meant this, this is me saying this, that's not a bad idea. That would mean that in this world we live today, I don't think it's far to say, we live in a world of Hester, right? The world of, what's Hester? And I forgot the name, we use a hidden, that Hashem, we don't openly see his ways. As we said before, that's the reason why we can have negative tidings, negative news, bad news, because we're not seeing the bigger picture from above where everything's much clearer. But when Hashem's going to, Mashiach, Hashem, again, interchangeable, revealing himself, time's interchangeable. Not I don't want anyone to think I said Mashiach as Hashem. But the time of Mashiach, Hashem revealing himself that maybe right now all news is good news, will also be able to say the blessing of Pekei Chivrim, not much as a request, but as a thank you. Hashem, thank you, Pekei Chivrim. And that would make sense for Rav Chaim Kesi, only use that blessing. Because that blessing is not the same. It's weird in the morning when you read the blessings. It means all the blessings you're reading are about you. Mater, Asurim, Zaykev, Kefufim, Shasi, Katarki, you're putting on a hat, you're putting on a gartel, all about you. But Pekei Chivrim is going on Hashem. That blessing is going to change at that time where Hashem is not peeking anymore. Opens the window shades, we're all in a good position.
The peaking blessing is in the morning
prayer? Bekeach Ivrim. You have a siddur, I'll show you. The first blessing you make, do you remember by heart? No. Yes. I'm saying further in those blessings. When we say, gave the rooster.
I understand to distinguish between day and night.
Then what? Okay. Did it make me a non-Jew?
Yeah, that's right.
Did it make me a slave? Leaving one out, but it's fine. And then first one is Pekei Chivrim.
Didn't make me a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, the woman then.
Yeah, but the one after that. The one after that is Pekei Chivrim. So what? Now, it is possible
translate.
Opening eyes. Now, it's possible Chaim Kefsi, just be fair. Chaim Kefsi, as we've said many times in this class, who wrote everyone a letter.
It means opening our eyes, but you say it's opening Hashem's eyes?
That's what everyone learns, opening our eyes. And Naim Elimelech learns opening Hashem's eyes. What? Opening our eyes, make the blind see. Correct. One's a euphemism. Is that the right word? I don't know. Allegory, whatever it is. Yes. Opening our eyes. Yeah. So we all learn all the blessings on us. My mouth learns it on Hashem. Now, if that's true, if what I'm saying is true, it makes sense Rav Chaim Kesi would say only one blessing. That's the odd man out blessing. That blessing's referring to Hashem. Now, you could also say, because he wrote very succinctly, that Rav Chaim Kesi meant Pekei Chivrim and the next bunch. I don't like it because he did list other blessings. He made a list. And I think if he's making a list, he would have listed a list. So that's why I think Pekei Chivrim by itself, Hubner's trying to figure out why only Pekei Chivrim. There's a whole bunch in the morning that seem to be. If it's all about getting healed, a bunch of stuff potentially get healed. People with limps won't limp anymore. So maybe he meant, I'm stretching, that he meant this Naim HaMelech. Similarly, now I'm going a different direction. This is Hubner interpreting Reb Chaim Kanievsky. But either way, the blessing might be relevant, even if Chaim didn't say it. Similar, it's very similar. It's just what the words are going on. As we know, when Mashiach comes, as we said 5 minutes ago, we will have a new perspective on things. We ourselves will have a new perspective. We're going to see in hindsight, everything will make sense to us. But not only that, that's what we said before, good news and bad news. More than that, we said that when Mashiach comes, colors will actually shine. What we see today, we're all wearing muddled glasses. We don't understand that because we don't understand what it means to be without muddled glasses. If someone's wearing green sunglasses, everything's green. You can't explain to them you're wearing green sunglasses. They're swearing everything's green. They don't realize they're wearing the glasses. So we don't understand that in the world we look at, we're still looking at a befuddled world, as great as it might be, as great as we think we're seeing. It's possible when Shia comes, the birds will make sense. The dogs will make sense. Colors will be a different thing. Everything's going to start being seen, not just perspective. Vibrant colors. There are midrashim that say that the colors we see today are not the real colors. Now, I myself can speak of this because I have bad vision and I never wear glasses. That means everything we're going to see is going to be different. So now the question again is going to be, why limited Bekei Chivrim? Are we not going to hear things betterly? If that's not even a word, betterly, I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But there definitely is a concept that we have a new perspective, but also a new appreciation. A new appreciation. And it could be Pekei Chivrim is that appreciation. That's the first thing we're going to notice. We're going to see right away everything's vibrant. Colors will stand out to us. Again, this is all on some versions of what happens when Mashiach comes. We spoke about the last couple weeks that some versions say when Mashiach comes, nothing really changes except the Jews have control over themselves. The world recognizes the sovereignty of a Jewish kingdom and they become employees for us because they realize where they're, I don't get too much on camera here, but you know, we're the chosen nation, whatever the words are, and we are the people that's going to be. Now, if you're going to say that, I'll tell you an amazing deal. Reb Chaim says this. We make a blessing. Men make a blessing when their child turns 13. Maybe a girl when they turn 12. It's a question. Baruch Shepetrani. It's the father. It sounds like, wipe my hands clean, I'm done. But that's not really what it means. That's just the humor behind it. So what happens with the bracha of Baruch Shepetrani? So this, right? We know what I'm talking about? The blessing of Baruch Shepetrani.
What's the translation?
I am freed, no? You have a siddur, get a siddur.
Thank you, God, for freeing me from the punishment due this boy.
Burden. Oh, so it's what you read it is that what means the burden? So the real interpretation is that because a father is under some level liable for the sins of a child under the age of 13. Mm-hmm. And at 13, on some level, there are different levels we're not going into, the father becomes, I go to hell for me alone right now. I'm not going to hell for his kid, his sins, under 12, her sins. The question will be saved by girls. But when they reach adulthood, they stand on their own, I'm free. But the freedom means I'm freedom from the fear of things occurring to me that I don't want to take blame for. But it's a freedom type of blessing. Chaim Kanevsky writes that when Mashiach comes, there's the easiest one. There's even if you believe the minimalist will occur when Mashiach comes. Nothing's going to change. There's no war. There's no survival. There's no new faces. Maybe the dead aren't arising. Maybe. No, the only thing, I'm putting only because that's huge. The only thing is that the Jews will have their own sovereign power. And the world will appreciate and recognize it. No fear. No anti-Semitism. Chaim Kanevsky says, if that is true, that's the minimalist. Minimal. Then we will make a bracha of Baruch Shem Petrani. In English again?
Thank you, God, for freeing me from the punishment, do this boy.
Oh, so here we're not, that's why he didn't have the words, do this boy. Baruch Shem Petrani means, thank you for freeing me. The punishment doesn't mean the spiritual punishment. Doesn't mean punishment from the other nations, but there's a freedom. Baruch Shem Petrani is a freedom. Now, we do have to know, so that would be a freedom from nations. Again, it's possible, this is too much politics for me, it's possible that some, I'm getting in trouble for this, some blue and white yarmulke rabbis in the state of 1948 made this blessing. It is a possibility. I haven't researched it. Next one. If you can, I'll tell you an amazing one. If you can, get to the Shulchan Aruch, Code of Laws, 225.10. This is not a blessing. Some of the blessing we've been discussing is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but not always practically given today. Like, for example, we gave it 2 weeks ago, you make the blessing on a genius. Most rabbis do not know if that's applicable today. Even though it's in the Shulchan Aruch. So even though in the Shulchan Aruch time we had certain blessings, today we don't. So if you have 225.10, it's an interesting blessing. And this blessing is that when you're going to, not when you are, even today, because that's how it's written. Again, I don't think this is practiced today. They'll tell me if it does. They have the English on the Shulchan Aruch, right? Let me at least read the Hebrew. And it says, if someone sees beautiful trees, beautiful people, which we discussed with Mashiach, is going to get that blessing. But beautiful trees, it means the scenery. You make a blessing, shekachaloi ba'alamai. And you only say it the first time. You see it, the details we're not going into right now. Beautiful scenery, that's what trees would probably represent. You would make a special blessing. Now, this I want to say interestingly. Years ago, we gave this speech in Chain of Thought. So that's years ago. If we remember the story, when the spies went to Israel, they came back. So the spies come back. We know that they're carrying the figs. They need 8 people to be carrying a vine. Is that the word vine? A vine. They're carrying a fig that's seriously above human nature, right? Have we seen? I mean, we don't want to be from the naysayers. What? When else did that ever happen in the history of the world? With all the modern technology, have they created a fig the size of this table? And they have awards, like the biggest watermelon and stuff, right? When I was a little kid in camp, shout out to Chezi, you've never watched this. We won, we went to a camp in the Brooklyn right here, the cross street from 770. Not around here in Crown Heights, what's that place called? Botanical Gardens. I went there for a day camp, and we won biggest sunflower seed. Sunflower seed? No, whatever that was. Anyway, going back years ago. Probably picture myself like 8 years old holding a big sunflower. We won it. Anyway, we had a day camp where we dug the stuff. Anyway, the point is, but we've never seen this going on. And that was a question asked by the rabbis. I mean, come on. They want to make things look normal. What's going on here? So we said then, in Chain of Thought, that I forgot who it was offhand, I just thought of it now, that one of the rabbis said that since the spies were going into Israel, had they not made the mistake, the famous, Lucy with the football, had they not made the mistake, the Messianic revelation would have occurred. But because they came back, They spoke ill of the land of Israel. The Jews in the desert got stuck. The whole revelation didn't occur the way it was. Even though they were going to go in and go under natural law, different conversation, there was supposed to be a beauty. We believe as Jews, also in chain of thought, Parshas Bereishis, that was in Parshas Shelach. We believe as Jews in the concept, I don't know what you're allowed to keep on here, of global warming. Not global in the way it's said. We believe that the Jews and non-Jews, our actions, not physically, decide the fate of the planet. That means when we're doing better, the planet does better. We're doing worse, the planet does worse. A couple of examples. We just read in Eicha, Lamentations, the fourth pasuk says, Darche Tzion Avelos, the roads of Zion are in mourning. What are you? Commentators ask, the roads are in mourning? No. The people walking on the roads are in mourning. What do you mean the roads are in mourning? And in the answer, in Strength Through Fire, a lot of quoting myself tonight, Strength Through Fire, I offer the commentary from the 1500s, maybe 1600s, and he says that what does a mourner do? The most noticeable thing of a mourner, long hair. You know what a roadway that's not traversed, is that the word, look like? Unkempt. The weeds are growing. Unkempt. And he writes there 1600s. He writes that when Zion, Tzion, the Jews, Jerusalem, and Hashem is in mourning over no base of Mikdash, the roads there mourn. When Mashiach's about to come, the story of the spies, the land said, oh, Mashiach's about to come, let's produce the way we're supposed to look. We don't live in that world where the bark tastes like the fruits, where the fruits are going to be the optimum without any pesticides, spiritual pesticides. We said then in Parshas Bereishis, so I'll say it now, I haven't said it in years here, chain of thought means it was a long time ago, is that it said that Hashem told the bark, the trees, to have bark that tastes like fruit, and it didn't do it. Okay? That's on early days of the week. Then Adam came along, and Adam sinned. And Hashem said, I'm going to punish you. You know what I'm going to punish you as? Thorns and thistles. Koitz v'darda will come out of the land. So the commentators, right away, Rashi points out, what? Why is that a punishment to Adam? Obviously, he's going to poke his hands. But that's cursing the land. The land's not producing what it should be. The land doesn't want to produce thorns and thistles necessarily. So Rashi right away says, oh, yeah. The land sinned a couple days earlier. Oh, the land's a couple days earlier. Why is it being punished now? Rashi doesn't answer that. I'm sorry for another's answer. 1800s, pre-industrial revolution. Spiritual industrial revolution. What they say is that when Adam was perfect, it doesn't matter if the land sinned. Adam doesn't deserve to be in a polluted land. So the land stays pure. When Adam sins, that'll affect the land also. The human affects the world, but not based on underarm spray, not based on, I'm not saying carbon put out is nothing. If there is an issue with carbon put out, I'm not getting into that scandals. Either way, scandals are vague terminology. It's based on sins. The Industrial Revolution also, as anyone with a brain can tell, sadly, also created an enormous amount of opportunity for negativity. Sadly to say. When people lived, as Ephraim Waxman, one of the greats in the living today, always says, a person living in Europe 150 years ago was tested in his lifetime with inappropriately that direction of sin. In his whole lifetime, less than one person walking down the street of Manhattan today. One person walking down the street of Manhattan today sees more things he shouldn't see, hears more things he shouldn't hear, will go through more tests. That's, by the way, Ephraim Waxman, chasher person, is naive. He's talking about walking through the streets. He's not referring to someone holding a phone in his hand. He's not talking about opening a magazine in his house, a newspaper, if they even exist anymore. The idea is, as the Industrial Revolution came along, the spiritual decline occurred, and now the physical decline follows. Now, could Hashem be using carbon imprint? Yes, of course. But what's the real point? As I tell my students all the time, you want to save the planet? Keep Shabbos. Don't worry about that. Keep Shabbos. Keep making brachas. Because the world can produce a fig that looks like the size of this table. And you know what's going to happen if Mashiach comes? What didn't happen by the spies, the fruits will look that big. You know what happens if the fruits look that big? What we have on camera right there? We make a blessing of beautiful looking stuff. So we're going to end with that. We gave a five or six more blessings here. potentially when Mashiach arrives, hopefully soon. What a reminder, the next 2 weeks we are not having class on Tuesday night. I will try, if I remember and have the opportunity, to send out an email again, because last time you thanked me for it. So I will try it again. But know now, hopefully we'll be in Jerusalem by tomorrow night. But if we're still in Gullus, we will hopefully return here, not next week, not the week after, the third week. And again, I will try to send out emails to remind everyone, both on the no and then on the yes again. Thank you.
So for 2 weeks.